Galatians chapter number 4. And this morning, and I just, it's been my favorite book to study this year, the book of Galatians, and what the Galatians says about the incarnation of Christ. I've been kind of using that for a theme in our messages, in case you haven't caught on to that yet. But, and, you know, sometimes I wonder if anybody listens during the messages. I could have a whole series, and well, I'd preach on that sometime. Well, I just did for 2 months, but that's okay. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if that's just in my mind or whatever. So, but Galatians chapter number 4, we talked about this morning the Son and the sons. 6 times you see in verse number 4 through 7 the word son or sons, speaking of the Son of God, or we have been adopted as sons. And with that thought in mind, I want to continue on this evening. And I want to start by reading Galatians chapter number 4, verses number 1 through 11, if you follow along. And let's do this. If you're able to stand with me and stand in respect to the Word of God as we read the Word of God this evening. And again, I encourage you to follow along in the Bible and jot some things down as God speaks to you. Hopefully God will speak to you. Galatians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be the Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And I mentioned this morning, I think I mentioned the last few services, that many celebrate the day, as Don mentioned in his testimony, many celebrate the day of Christmas, but they know nothing of the person of Jesus Christ. And I find that true. And in my own life, in my religious lost days, I knew a lot about the religious traditions, but didn't know the person of Jesus Christ. That's the difference between heaven and hell right there. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you adopted us into your family and declared us to be co-equals with your only begotten Son. What an amazing thing that is to think of. God, I pray that you would bless now as we consider a few thoughts from this text tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. Kind of a long title. In fact, I had to shorten it a little bit use 2 lines or shrink it a little bit so it fit in my outline. The Son became a servant that the servant could be a son. The Son became a servant that the servant could be a son. And the first son there is a capital S because we're talking about the Son of God. The Son of God became a servant of men, that the servant that we, as servants of sin, could become sons of God alongside of him. And notice in our text, and I got 4 things or an outline, especially the 4th one I want to point out tonight, but before we even get to the app, I want to mention, as we see in the first few verses of this chapter, how the heir became a servant. And using the illustration that we talked about a little bit last week and this morning again in chapter number 3, of the schoolmaster bringing us, that's the law bringing us to grace. The law was our schoolmaster that brought us to grace, which we're saved through faith in the grace of God. But the heir became a servant. If you look at verse number 1 and 2, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, I talked about that this morning. Jesus came into this world as just like any other child. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now the heir, God himself, the very Son of God, became a man. That's the incarnation of God. The baby looked like any other man. And yet, that baby was the Lord, the Creator, and the Sustainer of the entire universe. He was life in the flesh. He fulfilled all the law, all of the law commands, and that same law is what condemns us. But he who knew no sin, he had no condemnation. He had no sin nature. But he was put on the same level in these two verses. He became a servant. He became a man. He came to us when we were unworthy of him. He fulfilled all the law, and that law condemns us. But he became greater than the law of Moses. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But he is the heir. Philippians chapter number 2 says, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Thank God that the heir, God himself, became a man and was numbered amongst men. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says that he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Jesus, who knew no sin, not only became a man, but he became our sin. He became our substitute. What an amazing thing that is. And that's just the introduction. I'm just getting to look at it tonight in a little bit. But the Son became a servant. The heir became a servant. God himself became a servant. And then the second part of the title I gave you is the servant became a son. In verse, so that the servant could become a son. In verse number 3 and 4 it says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Jesus was free from that bondage of sin because he had no sin nature, but we were born under bondage. We were born slaves. We were born spiritually dead. That's where we were. We were servants. We were slaves to the devil. Someone says, this is my life. No, it's not your life. You never had a life. Your life either belonged, you were either the servant of the devil or you're the servant of God, one of the two. When you think that when you're your own person, you're really a servant of the devil. You just don't know who's pulling the strings. The servant became a son. Verse number 4 says, for when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Again, the idea that he fulfilled the law that we might become righteous through him. And you know, I notice this for salvation and also for sanctification, which is a word we ought to be familiar with. There's oftentimes our pride causes us to think that we're worthy of saving ourselves. That's where I was for the first 19 years of my life. Well, I'm a pretty good person. My good works outweigh my bad works. I'm all right. And because of our pride, we're not willing to admit that we're sinners. And then there's the other extreme. Maybe we as Christians are maybe a little bit more guilty of. Our pride causes us to think that we are unworthy of Christ's mercy and grace. God, you really can't do. Sometimes people say, well, salvation is just too simple. That just can't win. I'm unworthy. I've got to do something to earn it. No, I don't have to do anything to earn God's mercy. It's completely free, not only for salvation, but also for sanctification, for living for him. But our pride is the thing that keeps us from the blessing of God, keeps us from becoming what God wants us to be as children of God. Oh, if we only knew the value of the Jesus who walked on this earth. If we only knew the value of the Holy Spirit that lives inside, what's available to us, what's standing with us, what's with us all of the time. I was reading a story a couple of weeks ago, and And I actually first saw it on Facebook. So I, and of course, everything on Facebook is real, right? So you might have seen it too. But I looked it up, did a little check, and make sure that it was a legitimate story. So, but a violinist played for 45 minutes in a New York subway. A handful of people stopped, a couple clapped, and the violinist raised $30 in tips. No one knew this, but the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the best musicians in the world. In that subway, Joshua Bell played one of the most intricate pieces of music ever written, with a violin worth $3.5 million, as the people just walked by and didn't pay any attention to him. 2 days before he played in the subway for 45 minutes, he played to a sold-out crowd at the Boston Theater, and the tickets for that concert cost an average of $100 a seat. No one knew who they were walking by. They didn't appreciate all that they heard as they walked by in the subway that day. Much like the Bible says of Jesus in John 1, that he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own people, and they received him not. And though that's speaking to the Jewish people, sometimes I wonder if it's talking about us. As the children of God today, if we only knew what was available to us through the person that we celebrate his birth at Christmas time. I want to see a couple of things here in our text this morning. We talk about the Son became a servant, and the servant, you and I, as servants of sin, could become sons of God. Notice, in every time I read in the Scripture about salvation, you pick this up if you study the Bible a little bit, and the verses that we use for salvation, you will always see involved in salvation. We think, well, Jesus died for us to save us. Well, I'm so glad for Jesus. But everywhere you look about salvation in the Bible, you see all three persons in the triunity of God involved. And so it's true in our text today. You see God the Father, you see God the Son, and you see God the Holy Spirit. They're as clear as can be when you see Him there. And I want you to notice, first of all, that the Father adopted us as his children. Aren't you glad for that? That God adopted us. And notice what it says in Galatians 4 in the first part of verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God, or the Father, sent forth his Son. You see God's part? In fact, it starts with God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everywhere you see salvation in the Bible, you see all three persons of the triunity involved. In fact, the last part of verse number 5, it says that we might receive the adoption of sons. That God the Father chose to adopt us as his children. The Father, first of all, adopted us. The Son, second of all, or Jesus, the Son, redeemed us. He paid the price for our salvation. Look what it says in verse number 4. Again, when the fullness of time is good, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem, to purchase, to buy us back from bondage, from the slave market of sin. He died to pay for us, to redeem them that were under the law, under the condemnation of the law, where every one of us were when God the Father saw us. Said, I want to make you my child. That somebody's got to pay the price. And Jesus willingly went to the cross to pay for my son, for my sin. And the Son redeemed us to become children of God. The Father adopted us and the Son redeemed us. You say, well, wait a minute. The third person in the triunity of God is the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the what? Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When we're adopted by God the Father, and Jesus pays the price for our redemption, and he puts the Holy Spirit inside of us to walk with us, where he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 15, and 16. He said, I'm going to heaven. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter. the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who's the same as I am, but he is the third person of the triunity of God. And he will abide with you forever. He will instruct you in the truth. He will guide, he'll teach you how to pray. He'll encourage you when you're discouraged. He'll administer the grace of God. He'll use you to do things that you cannot do on your own. And all the things that the Holy Spirit does. And the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit to his disciples as he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That we are sinners, that God is holy, and we're going to stand before a holy God one day. Of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That's the one message the Holy Spirit has to everybody that's ever been born into the world or is lost or saved. You know, sometimes we foolishly pray for lost people. God, I pray that you would comfort them. You know, God's not obligated to comfort them. In fact, I don't pray that God would comfort them. I pray that God would make them miserable. Because when they're made miserable, then they'll realize they need something bigger than themselves. And that's what God does. He reproves men of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, and shows them their need of salvation. Now, some of us, because of our hard, stubborn heart, we ran from God for a long time. When God began to speak to us, and God had to break us down and put us on our face before him before we're willing to call unto him and humble ourselves. He had to, and thank God that he humbled us and brought us to the place of salvation. But the Spirit, so God the Father adopted us, the Son redeemed us, the Spirit indwells us. Those are the three things of the triunity of God. Now, I just want to, for the few moments that we have left, I have this written as my fourth point, but it's really the main, the meat of the message. And I want you to see in this our present position. We're made sons of God. So, oh, I can't wait till we get to heaven when we get to be sons of God around the throne. No, we right now are sons of God. If we only knew what we had available to us right now. And I want you to see, everywhere in the Scripture you see things, you see, notice the tense of the verb that's used. For example, in verse number 6, because ye will be sons of God. Is that what it says? It says ye what? We are sons of God. Present tense. Our present position with God. In other words, the moment you get saved, you become a son of God. You become a child of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. And ye are the sons of God. Had sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We are the sons of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter number 3. Says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We are called the sons of God. The world doesn't know us. The world knoweth us not. But he knows us. The world knoweth us not because it knew not him. Beloved, John says, now are we the sons of God. Right now. The moment, the instant I trusted Christ, that I cried out to God for salvation, I became his son. And John continues with these verses in 1 John chapter number 3, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. Every day, as a son of God and as an obedient child of God, every day I want to be more like Jesus Christ. But I realize I can't do it on my own. If I try to live like Jesus Christ, I guarantee you I'm going to fall flat in my face. I can't do it. I need the grace of God. God, I'm a sinner. I can't do it. And each day is another step closer to him. And one day we're going to take that giant leap. We're going to leap from this earth to heaven into eternity. And then we will be declared, and then we will be clearly seen because we'll have no more sin nature to struggle with. That battle will be over. But right now, even though we're in the midst of the battle, even though it doesn't seem like we're making much progress, even though we struggle, even though we fail, right now are we the sons of God. Our present position in Christ is right now. We are the sons of God. A very familiar verse to our text here in Galatians chapter number 4. We won't turn there, but the text is Romans chapter number 8. I'll just read it to you. Romans 8 verses 15 through 19 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." And there's a capital S there, speaking of the Holy Spirit that adopted us, just like Paul is talking about here in Galatians. "Whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Does that sound familiar with what we just read? In fact, the verse in Romans is probably the more familiar one to us. And he says that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not that we will be one day, but we are the children of God. "And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ." You know what that says to me? That says when God the Father looks at His Son, He sees you and I. On the same level, on the same plane. How can that be? We still have sin. Well, He knew that when He saved us. And He doesn't see us for our sin. He sees us through His grace. He sees us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer. Now, Paul goes on in Romans and says, "If so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." All of creation, in fact, the chapter goes on to say, all of creation, the animals in the world, this is a cruel world that we live in. And everything in God's creation is in a constant cycle of dying and giving birth, and it's just a repeating cycle, and all of that came as a result of sin. And one day, sin will be no more. Right now, we can enjoy the relationship to God as a son, but we still struggle with the sin nature. But don't let that sin nature convince you, well, when I was first saved, I used to struggle with this. Well, I'm not sure if I'm really saved because I did so-and-so. Well, I did this thing, and then, but I'm not sure. I might have lost that salvation. If my salvation was up for me to keep, I would never have it to begin with. I couldn't gain salvation, and I couldn't keep salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could save ourselves, we'd have something to brag about. But we have absolutely nothing to brag about. And all we have to brag about is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul said, "I know in me that is in my flesh," earlier in Romans chapter number 8, "in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." There's nothing good inside of me. But still, God loved me, and He saved me, and He made me His son. He adopted me into His family. Oh, what a truth. The Son of God, Jesus, became a servant. That the servant, that we as slaves could become the sons of God. Now, verse number 7, I want you to see this. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant." Right now, are we the sons of God? We're no more a servant. God doesn't see us as sinners, though we do sin. He doesn't see our sin, of course. If we confess and forsake our sins, He is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our... He knows we're sinners, but He looks beyond that in our relationship with Him. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Not through our goodness, not through our behavior, not through what we can achieve, not through what we've done, but only through Christ, we're no longer servants. The reality is, in my flesh, I'm still a servant of sin. I still struggle with sin. And I think you do too, don't you? Anybody not struggle with sin? Well, I'd sure like to talk to you afterwards. But the Apostle Paul, the great Christian he was in Romans chapter number 7 and 8, talked about his daily struggle with sin as a mature Christian. I don't suppose I've ever met a Christian better than the Apostle Paul, a greater Christian than the Apostle Paul. But he struggled with his sin. But God doesn't see us any longer as sinners. He sees us as His Son. But we know that we're sinners. In fact, Jesus said this to his disciples in John chapter number 15. Now keep in mind, in John chapter number 15, he'd not been crucified. He'd not been betrayed. Some of his disciples were about to turn. All of them were going to turn and run their back and run away from him. Peter, the leader of the group, was going to deny him. And Jesus said to them in John chapter number 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his, what's the word that goes in there, do we know? Friends. Ye are my friends. If so, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I'm glad that God treats us as sons, and that his friends, not as enemies. And the Holy Spirit that lives in us guides us in the truth. When we learn to listen to him and give ourselves to the Word of God, how God speaks to us, the Spirit will guide you in all truth, Jesus said in John 16. We're no longer servants. Our present position is in Christ, and we are the sons of God. We're no longer servants. And I want you to notice in verse number 9 of our text, those first two words. What do those first two words in verse number 9 say? But now. But now. Earlier in chapter 3, I mentioned this morning in verse number 25, but after. After that, faith has come. But now. But now, after that, ye have known God, or rather are known God. Do you know everything there is to know about God? Oh, I can't even scratch the surface of what there is to know about God. But I tell you what, God knows everything about me. He says, now that you know God, well, you know a little bit about God, but rather are you known of God. And he turned that around very quickly and said, God, you know a little bit about, you know enough to get you to heaven, and you know enough that you're struggling with sin and where to find the victory in Christ and not in yourself, but God knows everything about us. But now, don't forget who we are, that we're sinners saved by his grace. Now, I'll turn, and this is we get back to the theme of the book of Galatians. If you're familiar with this book overall, I'll show you just a couple of things here in verse number 9. You've known of God. God knows who you are. God knows you're incapable of saving yourself. God knows you're incapable of living for him apart on your own. You can't do it in your flesh. God knows that. How turn ye... And he asked the question to the Galatians who were struggling with this matter, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you. Or we might say today, I'm afraid for you. Lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I fear that you're not even understanding the message of salvation. Now, the church in Galatia had some false teachers that Paul was confronting their doctrine here. He never names them, but he confronts their doctrine and writes to the church of Galatia to help them understand this, that we're not only saved apart from keeping the law, but we grow in Christ apart from keeping the law. And he says, how can you be so foolish to think that, well, we're saved by grace, but now you're kept by the works of the law? Anybody that believes you can lose your salvation, they must, by the nature of that idea, believe that we keep our salvation by the works of the law. Because there's nothing I did to get saved, and there's nothing I can do to stay saved. It's all of God's grace. And if it's not of grace, it's of works. And if it's of works, it's not of grace. The Apostle Paul deals with that in the book of Romans. But how foolish we are to forget, and this is the struggle, whether we realize it or not, every one of us has. Well, I want to walk closer to God, so I'm going to pray more. I want to walk closer to God, so I'm going to give more money to the church. Hey, the preacher would be all for that. I want to be closer to God, so I'm going to start learning to control my tongue. I'm going to learn to control my anger. I'm going to learn to dress modestly and properly. I'm going to learn to do. I'm going to go tell people about Jesus because, is that me? Cool. Did I get too close to that? I still haven't figured out how to turn the chime off my little clock up here. I need one of my grandkids to show me. That's my technical support. How do you turn that thing off? I hear ringing in my ear sometimes, but I hear voices in my ear. I try not to listen to them. I forgot where I was. Well, isn't that crazy how that throws you off? We think, well, I'm going to get closer to God by doing these things. And the fact is, when we just fall in love with Jesus, we can't find enough time in the day to pray as much as we'd like to. We don't have to make ourselves go to church. We get to go to church. We have to make ourselves pray. We get to pray. I can't pray enough. And the more I love Jesus, the more I want to give to others. The more I want to tell others about Him. You see how we get that completely backwards? And it becomes a matter of doing instead of being a Christian. Well, I'm going to do the Christian thing. And I talked about this some in Sunday school this morning. I apologize to those that were in class this morning. You're hearing it again, but I think we need to hear it again. I could hear it every day. And still, we just naturally think, well, and it's just like the sinner. You share the gospel with them, and you say, well, all you have to do is trust Christ as your Savior. Well, that doesn't make sense. Don't I have to do something? Don't I have to, help a little old lady across the street or something? Or don't I have to get baptized? Don't I have to join the church? Don't I have to keep the Ten Commandments? No, you don't have to do anything but trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how free grace is. Amen? We understand that when it comes to salvation. But when it comes to sanctification, if I would do this, God would like me a little bit more. I could get a little closer to God if I would do this. Now, that's the theme of the book of Galatians. In fact, if you go back a chapter to chapter number 3 and verse number 1, Paul is addressing this issue throughout the book of Galatians. He says in verse number 1 of chapter 3, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Now, that's not really encouraging. Oh, you bunch of idiots. Well, bless God. Thank you, brother. I needed that. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? Who's deceived you? What's the demon that taught you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Did you get saved by the law or by faith? We got saved by faith. And notice what he says in the next verse. Are you so foolish? How can and this is something I guarantee every one of us, when we search our heart, will find out we're guilty of this. We're thinking the wrong way here. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Well, if I could just do this, God would be more pleased. This would please God, and God would answer my prayer if I just do this. No, that's your works. And Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 3:36, it is the Spirit, I get the reference messed up, I know the verse but not the reference, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth or helps out in nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. In other words, the flesh didn't have anything to do with saving me. The flesh doesn't have anything to do with getting me close to God, but it's just receiving who I am in Christ and accepting who He says I am, that I am a son of God, that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God the Father loves me just like He loves His only begotten Son. That's what it is to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me is the same Spirit that worked through Christ to do all those miracles while He was here on this earth. That same Holy Spirit lives inside of me. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus up out of the grave lives inside of me. Now, that doesn't mean that when I die I'm going to be raised from the casket. When I'm doing a funeral, I guarantee you I'm out of here. I ain't sticking around to see what happened. But we're not talking about a physical resurrection. We're talking about the spiritual resurrection and the physical resurrection that's going to come one day. In the end, the time when God will raise all the dead into eternal life in Him, in His presence. But now, our present position, we are the sons of God. Our present position is we are no longer servants. We're no longer under the bondage of sin. We've been emphasizing those two words, mercy and grace. Mercy is God's forgiveness of sin, and grace is God where we find victory over sin. And that doesn't mean we're ever going to be sinlessly perfect. Nobody's ever going to get there except for me and I think Brother Todd. I think it's just about there. No, I think Amy is, not because she's got to live with Brother Todd. And I think Joelle is because she's got to live with Connor. But none of us are ever going to get sinlessly perfect. But we have that Holy Spirit within us. And if we just fall in love with Jesus Christ, that's a hope. We are the sons of God. We are alive in Christ today. That's who we are, our present position in Christ. We're no longer bound to the addictions, the afflictions of this flesh. We can have freedom. The freedom's ours if we simply claim it in Jesus Christ. Now I know some people go overboard with that and get some goofy ideas about that, but we do have freedom today. It's called the grace of God. And I remember years ago, my brother-in-law actually has a disease with his legs that I don't know what it's called. It's got a big name that I can't remember, but the muscle in the front of his shin bone is basically gone. He can't pick up his toe, so he kind of drags his foot. He's got a brace so he can walk. And I remember him going to the doctor when he was young, and he was just starting his family. His children are adults now, and he's a grandpa, Grandpa Joe, we call him. We like to call him that. He doesn't like that much. I remember him going to the doctor, and the doctor suggested that they not have any more children because this disease affects all the young men. They had one daughter so far, and he said, well, he has many children as God allows us to have. And the doctor, and I remember him talking to me about the doctor. This is years, I don't know why I just thought of this now, but he said he was talking to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, it looks like you're going to have a boy, and this boy is probably going to have the same problem that you have. And he said, that's kind of a cruel thing to do, knowing that that child is going to have this and all this stuff. And he said, well, you know what? We have something we can deal with. Oh, really? The doctor's saying, you got some kind of cure? No, we have something that's called the grace of God. The grace of God can help you through these hard times. The grace of God can carry you through any difficulty in life. God for His grace. The song says, 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We are the sons of God. The Son, Jesus, became a servant that we as servants could become sons. Isn't that good? What a wonderful truth that is. Don't ever forget who we are in Jesus Christ. Don't ever let the devil convince you that you're less than a son of God. Thank God for the hope and the reality of Christ living in us and the Holy Spirit that walks with us. I'm going to ask you to stand.